I just feel like we need to get a little bit noisy this morning. It's just something that I've been doing a lot in the car lately when I'm going into situations and I don't know what to do and I'm feeling overwhelmed. And I've just found myself getting in touch with the inner warrior in the car. And I'm driving to work, and if anybody saw me, they thought I was insane because I'm driving to work going, "Come on! Jesus, hallelujah! I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on!" Whoa, that's what I am like in the car. And when I get to work, I literally feel like I can take on anything. I can take anything on at all. Because just doing that for a few seconds, it changes something spiritually. It does something awesome. So I just want us to stand up and I want us to use our voices because I feel like there are burdens and things that people have got and you think you're going to have to go through some 10-step program to get free. And I don't believe that's the case. Sometimes it is, but what I'm saying is sometimes you need to use your voice, recognize what's on the inside of you, what God's given you, and who you are in Christ. Okay, we're talking about the Creator God. We're talking about a Jesus who rose from the grave, living within you. And we're talking about a Holy Spirit who can do exceedingly above anything you could ever ask or think. So just by shouting the name of Jesus, something will change. So I want you to think right now about the situation that you think is impossible. Think about that relative who you think will never get saved. Think about that prodigal who you feel is lost. Think about that family member who you've got a severed relationship with where you want to see restoration. Think about that illness. Think about that difficulty that your child's going through and you cannot see a future for them. You can't see a way forward. Whatever it is, think about that. And we are just going to shout and proclaim Jesus over it because I believe there is breakthrough. I've seen breakthrough in my life in just the last month by getting in touch with who lives inside me and who I am because of it. So come on, let's just shout the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. You are God. You are God over this situation. You are Lord of my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are my guide. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for breakthrough in this place, Father God. Thank you for the possible. Thank you that there is nothing impossible for you. Father God, every situation on our heart right now, we thank you for breakthrough. Father, we thank you for our children being children who worship you. We thank you for our family members who seem lost, Father God. They are not lost to you. Father God, we believe your word this morning and we thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for the power in the name of Jesus and for everything he is to us, Father. And I believe that this lectern, we are going to be flooded with testimonies of your goodness and your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you ever see me on the M57, shouting, but wow, there's power in the name of Jesus. So what I wanted to talk about today is kind of a bit of a journey I've been on, and I hate that phrase. I think it's really cheesy, but I can't think of another way of putting it. But it started on the morning that Jimmy Brown was here. Something happened that morning, and I'm still trying to understand what it was. Who was here when Jimmy spoke? Wasn't it incredible? And I was trying to explain to Tino afterwards because he was down with the children and he listened to the audio. But there was something about what was happening in here that was hard to explain. And we talked about it in our small group. I talked to Jim and Cheryl about it and we were just blown away by the presence of God that morning and the fact that he just seemed to draw us in. It's like he was saying, pay attention, wake up. Something happened to me that morning. And that was the start of this journey of learning to abide in Christ and what that means. And it was just so, so powerful. And for the rest of that day, I just wanted to be with the Lord. I was starting to get quite irritated at the sort of day-to-day stuff I had to do because I was so desperate to just spend time with the Lord and unpick what on earth that was, that powerful time that we had with the Lord. It was just absolutely amazing. And it was a real encounter. And Dave was talking about encounters the other week. And they are really key in our lives and they make a difference. But it's about what happens in between those as well. We can all think of amazing encounters that we've had. I went to Spring Harvest with the youth years ago, one of my first real encounters with God. You know, we can all think of those times. But we can't just live day to day based on what happened in an encounter in a conference last year or when we've come up for prayer here. It's about that abiding with Christ day to day, minute to minute, second to second, which is just as important, if not more. You need all of these things to have an impact. And I'm really praying that my children will have encounters with God, but more so as a parent, my heart is to teach them how to abide. And I can only do that if I know what the heck it means. And I'm going to be, this will shock you, I'm going to be 45 in about 2.5 weeks' time. Which just, that blows my mind right there, that fact. I can't believe it. I can't believe that I've got to that age. I'm sure my parents can't believe that their baby's going to be 45. It's kind of mind-blowing. And there are things that I'm really just getting to grips with now, that the Lord is drawing me. And it's about this abiding. And part of this journey for me, since Jimmy was here and that powerful time with the Lord, is that realization that I cannot do this thing called life without God. I don't want to do it without him anymore, not a single second. And as that realization has kicked in, I've had the most incredible and difficult time at the same time since, because I really want to know what it is to walk every step with the Lord, because I find life overwhelming sometimes, and I know a lot of people here do at different times. I mean, you think about what Tim was just sharing about the things that he's had to cope with. You know, and the thing that's been the most overwhelming for me has been becoming a mum, which I've shared about before. Man alive, I had no idea. You know, you wish for something for a long time and everyone says, oh, you must be so blissfully happy now. All your dreams have come true. And you're like, well, yes, that's true. And God has been so faithful to us. But my word, has this been the hardest journey I've ever been on? I don't know what I'm doing. Any parents out there know what you're doing? Come and give me some tips. Because I don't. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I find it so difficult and a real battle. And I've realised more and more I need to rely on the Lord. He knows Ellie and Joe better than I do. He knows what they need. And I can't control them and make them be something. But the Lord knows who they're meant to be. And I'm just part of that journey. So I want us to have a look at one of Jesus' most vivid and powerful illustrations of our relationship with him. It's one of his I Ams. I think there's 7 I Ams. And this is about the vine. So if we can have a look at John 15. So this is where Jesus prepares his disciples for his imminent death and departure. And he gives them some instructions about their calling and their mission as his disciples, emphasizing their absolute dependence on him. And can I just say, that hasn't changed. What he instructed the disciples with at that last meal, that hasn't changed. That mission is our mission. And he wants to emphasize today our absolute dependence on him. So John 15 from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I just think that's amazing. What an absolutely wonderful illustration and wonderful metaphor. Jesus as the vine, us as the branches, and the Father, Jesus says, is the vine dresser, the gardener who tends the branches. I just think that's absolutely wonderful. Before I look at some of those verses in a bit more detail, I just want us to think, what does it mean for us to abide in Jesus as branches in the vine? So I think there's three things here: connection, dependence, and continuation. So let's just think about connection for a minute, because some people would tell us that we are better connected now than we've ever been in the history of the world. We're connected to a lot of stuff, aren't we? We're connected to Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, our Netflix account, our Amazon Prime, and a lot of other stuff that I'm not cool enough to have heard of, but that so many things that we're connected to. But what you notice is that at the same time as that, there's a disconnection going on. It's not just as simple as distraction. There's more than that going on. You know, sometimes we are looking to these things to be a source for us, for our identity, for our self-esteem, for our knowledge. And whilst everything has its place, we have to be so, so careful that we are, above all, connected to Jesus. Because he's the one who really knows what's going on. You know, if you're going through a situation, he's the one who's got the answer. He's the only one who knows exactly how we feel. There's absolutely nobody else that can really understand. Even if somebody's going through the same situation as you, they will still be experiencing it in a different way. And we have to be really careful how we relate to one another as well sometimes. Because sometimes we think that somebody should go through something the way that we did. But we're all different in how we experience something. And that's why we need to be connected to the Lord, because he knows. He knows how you experience your grief. He knows how you experience pain more than anybody else. So that connection is so, so, so important. It's about raising your awareness, not letting yourself become dull to the things of Jesus. You know, and sometimes it takes a crisis to kind of wake us up. And I think this abiding is so much more important. You know, I know for me, when Dave was ill, and a lot of people have said the same, we found a prayer life we'd never had before. You know, I've never prayed like that. I even prayed in a different tongue when I was praying for Dave. I've not had that tongue since. And I think Dave had that same experience of a different prayer language. But it shouldn't take a crisis for us to wake up. You know, those things are pivotal moments in our life. But if you are connected to the source, because that's what we're created to be, then you're going to have a lot more insight. Sometimes we even know things before they happen, and we can be praying into that because God shows us things. So it's just so, so important. You know, and in verse 5, it says that we can't do anything. Without him, you can do nothing. That should be enough to really challenge us this morning. So there's connection, but abiding also implies dependence. And this aspect of abiding, unlike connection, it's not reciprocal. The branch is dependent on the vine, but the vine is not dependent on the branch. The branch derives its life and power from the vine. Without the vine, the branch is useless, lifeless, powerless. But we need God's grace. We have to be dependent on him, because otherwise, how are we going to stand in the days that we're in? And just over the last few weeks, I've just found myself being more and more dependent on him, because I'm in a a new role now. I've been in my new job for 5 months and I am being challenged at a level I've never been challenged before. I am working with some of the strongest characters I've ever met in my entire life. Quite obstructive, people who've actively tried to make me look like an idiot in meetings. You know, there's just been some real battles. You know, one person in particular who could make my life really, really difficult, who's kind of working at the same level as me and has been in the project for longer than me. Now, I've had opportunities where I could have made her look like an idiot, you know, but I haven't taken those. I've been using this experience to learn about abiding. And so I've taken a bit of a step back and I've just been praying for her and thinking about how we can sort of make a breakthrough. And then in the last couple of weeks, I'd learned that her dad's dying and she didn't really grow up with her dad. He's an alcoholic. And a lot of the way that she's acting out is out of this pain that the man who she's been desperate to have a relationship for so many years and be reconnected to hasn't got very long left. So there's this pain that's there. And so, you know, I've just been offering support to her. You know, she was thinking she needed to stay in work. You know, should she go? When should she go and be with him? And so I just went to her and I said, you need to go now. This was on Wednesday. I said, you need to go. I said, and I will handle everything here. And she gave me a hug. She's not a huggy person at all. I was a bit gossed. She just gave me a hug and said, thank you. You know, but a relationship like that could have gone very, very wrong. And we could have been in a very different position. And I just thank God, really, that, you know, I feel he's using me in the workplace. I'm having some really good conversations with people because I'm learning to kind of abide and it's becoming more of a reality on a day-to-day rather than just a thing that we do on a Sunday. So I'm very much dependent on him in work right now. Abiding also involves continuation, and I think this is so important. So the Greek word for abide is meno, which means to remain, stay, continue, be true to, remain beside or near. So I'm going to say that again because that just blew me away this week when I looked at that. The word abide means to remain, to stay, to continue, to be true to remain beside or near. Now, I'd like to think that as a Christian who's coming up to 45, and I think I was, I don't know, 5 years old or something when I gave my life to the Lord, something like that. Still remember the day. I'd like to be able to stand here and say that I've stayed by the Lord, continued with him, been true to him, remained beside or near him every day of my life, but I'd be lying. He's never left me. He's never gone away. But there are many days in my almost 45 years where I haven't even spoken to him. I haven't acknowledged that he's there, never mind asked for his help or just walked with him through the day. I don't stand here and regret that. You know, I don't believe in spending hours, you know, of my life thinking about what could have been. I've only got control over this moment now and what happens now, but I know that something switched in the last few weeks. I'm experiencing something I've never experienced before. And it's all to do with this abiding second by second with him. You know, and I mean, just think about that for a minute. If you live with somebody, you know, I live with Tina. We've been married a good few years now. And if we're not connecting, and if we're not continuing in our relationship, then things can get quite strained then. I'm sure people know what I mean. In any relationship, if you are not connecting at a deep level, then you can almost live separate lives. You're not really together. And sadly, sometimes that's what the Christian life can become. You know, we say that we're a Christian. We're here every Sunday. We've been here every Sunday for however many years. But the minute we leave here, our mind's just full of anything but Jesus, anything but what he's doing in our lives, what he's saying, and more importantly, where he's calling us to be, who he's calling us to be light and salt to. You know, I've been so caught up in my own things in the last few years, I kind of missed a bit about what was going on around me. you know. And it's important for me to focus on my family and get to grips with some of that. But that doesn't mean God's not speaking. That doesn't mean there aren't other people he would have me reach out to. You know, I believe there's a lot more that he's got for me that I've just been a little bit, I've been dull to it. You know, we get caught up, I'm too busy. I'm too busy to minister. I'm too busy to get stuck in. I'm too busy to think about other people. But that's exactly who we are here. We were created to be attached to that vine. That's who we are. So I think one of the things that the Lord was showing me was that, you know, we all have union with Christ because of the cross, if you've made that decision. But it's about the communion. You can have the union, but you need the communion. You need that regular communion with him. And that can be the physical communion. You know, if you don't do that in your homes, have communion, I'd encourage you to do that because there's real power in that. But just that intimacy, those nudges that you get, that guidance. Okay, something. So if we just go back to John 15, something that just really blessed me. I just want to think about the Father for a minute, because he's the vine dresser. Okay, so when it says that the vine dresser takes away, in verse 2, the word is eroahi. I'm probably not saying that right, but it means to lift up. Wet branches that are still attached, but they're kind of weighed down. They need to be propped up. That's what it means. That's what God does. He props us up. You know, sometimes these verses make us think that God's there and he's angry with us and he's just thrown us into the fire because we're not bearing any fruit. But all of this, John 15, is talking about our relationship with God. And the vine dresser repositions us for blessing. He will do absolutely anything it takes to keep us connected, to see us blessed. This is not an angry God that we serve. This is not a God who's looking for any opportunity to cut us off because we're wasting his time. This is a God who knows you and me, who knows the fruit that you've already borne and knows the fruit you have the potential to bear, each and every one of you in this room. And I just think that is the most beautiful image of this vine dresser. I'd never seen that before. I'd never appreciated that because I think we focus on Jesus as the vine. But God, the vine dresser, he's the one who knows the plans and the purposes. He's the one who's going to do everything he can to keep us on that journey and that path that's ours individually. And I just think that is so, so beautiful. And it's those circumstances in life that weigh us down, isn't it? Like that branch, we can just feel like a soggy branch on the ground. The things of life that come, the things that seem overwhelming, the things we feel we can't get through. But and when we feel we're not bearing fruit, there's God propping us up, putting us back in the sunlight. And what's the sun we're talking about here? That's Jesus, reminding us of who we're connected to. We mustn't forget who we're connected to. God is active in our lives, fulfilling the work. Jesus is active through connection, but we need to be active. Because if we're not active, we get so bogged down by the cares of the world that when situations come, we can't stand. We don't even know how to stand. And I believe as a body, you know, we're here to encourage each other to stay connected, to recognize who the vine is, to recognize who the vine dresser is, and recognize what it means to be a branch connected to that vine. And I know for myself, I don't want to go another day getting caught up in useless stuff. That's just one day, it's just going to pass away. It's going to be nothing. It's going to mean nothing. I want to bear more fruit. And I don't, you know, this is just the start of it for me, of really understanding what it is to abide. Let's read some other verses around this. 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. 1 John 2:24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. 1 John 2:27, But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. 1 John 3:6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Now that's quite a powerful verse, isn't it? But if you're truly connected, the words of God are flowing through your life. You know them. You want to live them. You want to know what they mean on a day-to-day basis. Sin's not going to be a big issue, because if you are connected, your heart is to serve. Your heart is to make good decisions. Your heart is to bless and not to curse. Your heart is to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn and dance with those who dance, because that's Jesus' heart. So how do we know if we're abiding? It's the fruit. Fruit's the evidence of our abiding and us being disciples. The fruits of the Spirit. Everything it talks about in Galatians. You know, I know when I'm abiding and when I'm not. I know when I'm experiencing joy and peace. Self-control. Self-control's a difficult one when kids are playing up. You know, you learn all sorts about yourself that you didn't know was there. And it's the same with lots of other relationships. You know, when you go into marriage, you get to know yourself quite quickly, and the things that kind of push your buttons. But that wonderful fruit of the Spirit that's active. You know, I've noticed that I've not been as afraid. You know, I've struggled for a while in how you really share the gospel with people. You know, the world's a different place than it was even when I started in my career. And just in these last few weeks, I haven't been afraid anymore. I've been having great conversations with people. You know, I went out with work colleagues on Friday night. You know, I thought I'd make the effort. And some of the conversations were just horrendous. You know, and it got to about 9:30 and I was sort of like, that's it, I'm done. Because, you know, their reason for being out was to get drunk. It wasn't we might get drunk. They'd gone out to get drunk. And they couldn't understand why I wasn't drinking. I'm not saying I have a problem with drinking. That's not what I'm talking about here. But they were asking me all these questions. And we got into this really good kind of conversation about the Lord. And I just felt totally at peace and relaxed, just saying, I love the Lord. You know, he's done some amazing things in my life. Well, what's he done? What's he done in your life? You know, and why does he allow suffering and all the things that you get, all these questions that you get. But I've just found it so powerful sharing about what he's done in my life. I've been able to draw on all these testimonies. I've been able to draw on the things that have been really difficult and overwhelming, things that people can relate to. You know, the things that we go through, people out there can relate to. And they're desperate. They're desperate to hear that there's a different way, that there's somebody that actually cares about them, that there's somebody that can help them. You know, I think we think we're always going to get this brick wall. But no, because everybody has been created in his image. Everybody was created to be connected to the source, to the vine. So they're more open than you'd think. You know, so I'd encourage you to look for those opportunities. If you're connected, you won't feel afraid. That's my experience. The other thing that I've noticed is that the things I've dreamed of, that the ambitions that I've had, I've really struggled to see how they can come to pass. I've wanted to be a script writer, a writer for many years. I have lots of ideas and it just gives me a real buzz. But I haven't really pursued it because sometimes there's just like a bit of a fear behind things like that. And we think, well, what if people don't receive it well? What if I'm not very good? What's been happening the last couple of weeks has been absolutely incredible. And that I've just been like in the car or wherever, in the shower, just praying. And in almost entire scripts have just been going through my mind. Just unbelievable stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, that's good. That's good. That's incredible. Because our God is the creator God. So when it comes to writing, when it comes to songwriting, whatever it is that's in your heart and you think you can't get there, you don't know how to get there, you're feeling disappointed, get connected to the source. There is no other way. You are not going to get there without him. And it doesn't have to be a massive struggle. Sometimes I've looked at my dreams and I've literally thought, well, I'm nearly 45. I think I'm just going to have to forget it now. Left it too late. I haven't left it too late. I'm going to be around for a while. That's the plan. You know, it's never too late. And I know everybody in here has got dreams and visions and things that have been on your heart, some things that have maybe gone a little bit dormant, but I know that they're still there. And I believe very quickly things can change. I really do, because I've seen that in my life. Things change really, really quickly when you start to acknowledge, I am walking with Jesus. Everywhere you step, everywhere you go into the workplace, he's there with you, he's alongside you, he's gone before you, he hedges you in behind, he's in here. So how can we go wrong? Does that mean there's not going to be difficulties? No. But I can't do this without him anymore. I just can't. I won't make it. You know, I've had a good few meltdowns in the last few years, you know, since becoming a mum, and just felt so utterly overwhelmed at times, and fears that creep in about the future and, you know, what's that going to look like? And, you know, you extrapolate all of these things. Well, the only one who knows what the future looks like is that vine dresser. He's the only one who knows that. So why on earth would we not want to be connected with the person who knows the end from the beginning? You know, it doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet that's what we try and do. We try to control people because we want them to change. We try to control situations because there's so much fear and pain in them. And yet the one who's got all the answers, we sometimes leave him till last, almost like a last resort. You know, and I feel so strongly that God's really drawing us in at the moment. Over these last few weeks, he's drawing us in as people. And for some things, he's saying enough is enough. Okay, there are things that are happening that have to stop. Enough is enough. You know, come back to me. Be connected to me. Because I'm the one who created you. I'm the one with the plan. Okay, your plan B, not so good. It's not so good. Another thing that I think we need to just really settle in our hearts, and it might sound obvious, God's a good God. He loves us. He's a dad. You know, I think we've got to do away with these images of him as an angry God who's just so disappointed in us. That's not who he is. That's not who he is in my life. That's not who he is in your life. You know, there's some things that, you know, we need to have settled in our hearts, because those are the things that will bring us down. Those are the things that make us run a mile. Instead of recognizing, I'm already connected, but I'm not drawing from it. I'm sort of hiding in the shadows a little bit, which is daft in and of itself, because God knows everything anyway. I mean, who's tried to hide from God? Isn't it the most pointless thing you've ever done in history? Because he knows where you are. He's not going, ooh. I wonder where Liz has gone. It's just not an issue. And, you know, we need to move forward. We really do need to move forward individually and as a church into all the fullness of what God's got for us. But we can't do that unless we are abiding in the vine, unless we know the living word. Jesus is the living word. You know, and the other thing is, so we need to know God is good. We also need to remember that Jesus understands our pain. This has been a real revelation to me in the last couple of weeks. Really understanding what it means that he knows all of our pain. He knows all of our sufferings. You know, Jesus knows what it is to be betrayed by those that he loves. Those that have professed love to him. He knows what that's like. He knows all the physical pain. He knows what it's like to be completely abandoned. He knows what it's like to feel alone and facing something overwhelming. I mean, if anybody knows that, that's got to be Jesus. You know, you think about what he faced. He knows what it is to be betrayed by a friend. You know, and the pain of that, the denials of a friend. You know, everything that we go through, He can completely bear witness with that. So again, that's who we need to go to for the answers. That's who we need to go to for our comfort. Because he knows exactly not only what it's like, but how we as an individual are experiencing it. And when you think of the millions of people on the earth, I find that mind-blowing that he knows how me, how I, Liz, experience being a mum. He knows how you experience being a dad. He knows how you experience being a friend, a sister, a pastor, whatever it is, he knows. You know, and I kind of got a little bit, frustrated in the last few years with myself more than anything. You know, and I was saying to Tino, I can't play church anymore. You know, I've been going to church my entire life. I always joke, I think, you know, came out of the delivery room and was probably taken straight to church, you know. I mean, I've been going to church forever, you know, and I am so, so grateful that that's the experience I've had. But I'm telling you now, you can get institutionalized. I really believe that. That might sound like a harsh word, but, you know, you can get to the point where you don't really know what else you would do on a Sunday. You've been going to church all your life, and it feels weird doing something else because it's just what you've always done. You know, and then we drag our kids along and try and sort of instill that in them. They're not daft. We weren't daft, you know. More than anything, what I want to teach my kids is how to walk with Jesus for the times when I'm not there with them, when they feel alone, when they feel lost, when they feel overwhelmed, when they leave home or whatever it is. I want them to know how to go to Jesus as the source. Don't just want to know that they're sat in a chair every Sunday, maybe wishing they were somewhere else, maybe thinking about anything but Jesus. And for me, I need it to be something different for me. This is me now talking about me. But the challenge is there as well. You know, if we're still thinking the same as we were thinking even a year ago, then I would challenge you that you've not been as connected as you could have been, because our thoughts should be moving on. We should be becoming more in line with the word and with God's heart. You know, there's that song about knowing God's heartbeat. That's what I want to know. How does his heart beat? Who does it beat for? Who's he calling me to minister to? Because, you know, the fact is we don't get that long to make a difference. And I love what Tim said. He wants to be somebody who makes a difference. I want to be someone that makes a difference. I want loads of people to come running up to me in heaven and say, thank you telling me about Jesus. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And yet we withhold it because of our own fears and our own hang-ups. And it's not ours to hold on to. When he sent the disciples out and he gave them the mission and he gave them so many wonderful instructions and he left the Holy Spirit, he gave us everything we need to go out with confidence and tell people about this Jesus. Hey guys, this is my vine dresser. Isn't he awesome? This is the vine who I'm connected to. He's amazing. You want to get to know him. And this is what I'm like because of him. And that will be demonstrated through the fruits of the Spirit. That's your character coming out. And also through works. Not because our works save us, but that's the evidence. That's the demonstration that we are connected with God and with that vine. The works that we do, the sacrifices that we make. And, you know, I do really just want to honour you, Dave. I know you don't like to have the spotlight, but it's important because you've been an important figure in my life. So I just want to say thank you. And when you were ill, God said that there would come a time, and this was the moment, and the room was set out like this when I just said that to you. And I want everybody just to give Dave a round of applause, please. The glory goes to God when we give our lives to him, absolutely. But it's about being available. And Dave's made himself available to us time and time again. And I'm so grateful. I knew I'd cry. That happens all the time, you know me. But I'm just so grateful for people who have sacrificed at a high level. And I don't know if people realise the sacrifices that somebody like Dave makes and others. You know, I bumped into Dave once when we were both visiting somebody in the hospital. He'd already done one hospital visit. He'd already sat with a grieving family and he was on his way to help another family plan a funeral. You know, and sometimes people have said about pastors, well, they get paid, don't they? I tell you what, people don't become pastors for the salary. They really don't. You know, and I'm so grateful that you laid down your life for us. You know, and I'm grateful to you, Rob, for taking that up. Okay, and we need to support these guys. Okay, this is not easy stuff. Okay, and they need our support more than anything. But I want to be somebody who lays down their life for others. Okay, and when I'm connected to the vine, the love that I have for everybody here is mind-blowing. Like, it doesn't make any sense. None of this stuff makes sense logically, but it's about heart. It's about heart. And I want to challenge you, where's your heart at today? Okay, are you connected? Or are you sitting here week after week and life's just the same? Are you getting obsessed with the way the world's getting obsessed? Are you getting your self-esteem from how many likes you get on Facebook? Are you getting your self-esteem through your kids? Or are you connected to the source? Because I can tell you now, the only answer to all of these things that are overwhelm us at the moment is Jesus. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And what's on my heart for me is to be so connected from this moment on that my life makes a difference. Not just to my husband and my kids, but to you guys, my work colleagues. The thing that God really put on my heart for people today, I just really feel like there are people who feel in such despair over situations, disconnections with family members and things like that, and things that you think are completely impossible, that you don't even talk to God about it anymore. Just really, I think it's so important that people realise how much God loves you this morning. Okay, he's got every one of those situations in his hand, and he's just been waiting for you to take it back to him. Okay, not to give up. I think there's no point. When he says nothing is impossible, he means it. Yeah, he doesn't say it just for something to say. It's the truth. You know, and I think there are situations that we've given up on. But it's not enough to just come out on a Sunday morning and we pray for you that you see breakthrough in that. As an individual, you need to be connected back to the source for yourself, for your life. Okay, we can pray for you and that's wonderful. But there is nothing like that personal connection, dependence and continuation with Jesus. There's nothing else like that. That's where your power will come from. That's where your strength will come from. That's where your resolve, your resilience, your joy, your peace, your determination, that's where that will come from. Okay? You can't just live encounter to encounter or ministry time to ministry time. Okay? It's about you getting with Jesus, and it's not as difficult as I think sometimes we make it out. Sometimes you just have to say, Jesus, just come, because I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes you just need to say, I can't do this anymore. I've said that so many times in the last few years. Can't do it, Lord. Help. And he does. He does. He's got your life in the palm of his hand. He's got my life in the palm of his hand. The awesome vine dresser. So I just want us to spend a few minutes, perhaps so the worship team will just come back, if that's okay. And I'm not going to call people out for prayer. I just want us to spend some time, just a few minutes before we finish, just in his presence. Or you can choose to be in his presence any time you want. We don't have to wait for a big meeting where the Spirit of God's really moving or the presence of God was really there. It's here now because it's within you. You can connect with him right now and help him, and he can help you to start to get whatever you need for those situations that you're in, that hope that you need in a situation, the peace that you need, the comfort that you need right now. Whatever it is, he's the one who knows. Just spend a few minutes with the Lord. Just let him speak to your heart. Just abide with him.